aspire to help my fellow man. Check. As long as he's not smelly, dirty, or something gross.
Cordelia Chase, always ready to give a helping hand to the rich and the pretty.
Which, lucky me, excludes you. Twice.
Well, hello, gentle listeners. This is Melanie.
And this is Tilda.
And we're the Chosen Two. So today we'll be discussing Season 2, Episode 9, entitled What's My Line? Part 1. It had an air date of November 17th, 1997. The director was David Solomon. And the writers were Howard Gordon and Marty Noxon.
Nice.
Tilda, synopsis me.
Gladly. Drusilla's health is dwindling. Spike needs the Slayer out of the way so he can decipher the ritual for Drusilla's cure. He lets loose three ruthless bounty hunters to kill Buffy. Meanwhile, Angel and Buffy try to have a more traditional date, but a bounty hunter cuts it short and sends Buffy into a paranoid spiral.
All right, so we're at Sunnydale. We see that the career fair is happening and it starts tomorrow. Willow is kind of wandering around. Looks like a kid in the candy store. She's all smiles. She's very excited for career week. It's like career week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Buffy and Xander are in the lounge area, like, filling out their career questionnaires. And Willow approaches. And Cordelia and her cordettes also approach. Kind of Xander and her begin trading insults very quickly. And there's just a whole discussion here about this career questionnaire. It's a big deal. It seems like a very big deal to these teens.
Well, to everybody except for Buffy.
Yeah, Buffy's not in a good mood.
No, she's really not.
I think she's thinking too hard about
shrubs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
she's dissecting really these questions way too much. Where I'm like, just what? I don't remember. Like, I remember just like filling it out and be like, hey, like, yeah, yes, no, yeah, like.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, I thought about her whole, like, she was talking about here. Like, you know, it's like she's sealed in fate. Like, she's not gonna be able to have a career. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, you technically slay at nighttime. You could have a 9-to-5. Like, you're at school now. I know sometimes she has to, like, not be at school or, like, go out with Giles somewhere to do research or whatever. But you do have a 9-to-5 already. You could technically have one to slay at nighttime.
Yeah. I think it's more of, like, she'll never have a real, like, career, right? She'll never be able to, like, really choose anything for herself. It's, like, it'll always just be, like, a... okay, I'm just doing this job to, like, make money and kind of, like, mm-hmm. and kind of just, what is it, the facade, keep up the facade of, like, my normal life when actually my job is actually being a Slayer. So it is different than
something that she can pour her passion and heart into, something she can, like, work at when she's at home. It's not like she can do her 9-to-5 and then go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So Buffy's in a bad mood and she's going to snap at Willow here. It's going to be one of many snaps that happen this episode. Everyone's in a really bad mood this episode, and I'm gonna call it snapping turtles. Everyone are snappy turtles. I don't know what's in the air, but career fair is really getting everybody. All right, so now we're at the factory and Drew is doing some tarot card reading, and Glasses Vamp and Spike are trying to decipher the book that Bleach Blonde Vamp from last episode stole from Giles. And Glasses Vamp is struggling to, like, figure this out, and Spike is not happy. He snaps at Drew. Snapping turtle. He's snapping turtle at Drew. Everyone's snapping. they're both just, I don't know.
And, you know, she does that thing that I love, where she starts to whimper like a child, and I think didn't she punch the bald guy, too? I love how you call him Glasses Vamp. I call him Bald Vamp.
Spike punches the
glasses the bald vamp.
Yeah, bald glasses vamp. Which we learn here that his name is Dalton. So from now on, I'm going to call him Dalton Glasses Vamp.
I thought you were going to say Dalton Snapping Turtle, but he doesn't snap.
No, he's a nice one. He has humanity. Remember from later?
Oh yeah,
and, like, in a different episode. But Dalton, I like this name, and it, like, immediately I thought of the kid from Have you seen the movie Insidious? Oh, yeah, I think I made you watch it. But, like, the kid that, like, the demon's after is named Dalton, and they say the name Dalton a lot in that series. So I was like, Dalton. Dalton. And the new one is coming out, and it's going to be directed by Patrick Wilson, who's, like, you know, my love. He's, like, the main guy in Insidious.
Sure.
And, like, the guy that I love. And now he's directing the new one, which is exciting.
It's exciting for you, but I actually didn't know about this love. I knew about Matthew Good, and that was offensive.
Matthew Good, Patrick Wilson, they're both in The Watchmen, like the movie. Whatever, shout out, guy. Whoever understands what I'm saying, Thank you.
Okay. I know The Watchmen, the movie, but to be fair, I watched it a very long time ago. So. Okay.
Well, they're both in it, which is cool. But anyways, we learn here that Drew is getting weaker and Buffy is mucking up the works. He's not too pleased. And then Drew is going to have a little vision here that they need a key to decipher the book. Apparently the key is in a mausoleum.
Shocking.
I'm so shocked.
Yep.
What does it say Spike is going to... Oh, yeah, Spike is going to dance on
the Slayer's grave with Drusilla. I saw that and I thought of, like, I'm like, I wonder if this was, like, the beginnings of it. Because he's getting a little obsessed now, you know?
Yeah, he's talking about her a lot, yeah.
So we're hitting that.
It's, like, the normal kind of obsession that's going to move into, like, the really unnatural, weird obsession.
Yeah, that for some reason, which, like, I'll be Bangel forever. For some reason, like, the fandom just fucking loves. And I'll never... I get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah, we're all a bunch of toxic fuckers. I think that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, guys, come to our Instagram and tell us how toxic you are.
Come on down.
Yeah, justify, you know, the old vampire angel boyfriend or the toxic borderline abusive Spike boyfriend, like,
which one do you like? Yeah. And there's that one person be like, Riley, obviously, and it's like, ugh.
Listen, I will vouch for Riley till the day that I die.
Yeah, he's like the normalist one of,
I know,
of the group.
It's so funny, another friend of mine is watching and even he he's mad at Buffy in that whole interaction, which we'll talk about closer to season 4, like with all their breakup stuff. And, like, but like
years from now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know, right? But no, I still, like, it's not that I liked him as, like, a long-term character, but just in general, I had nothing against him because I thought, like, he just didn't do anything wrong until the end.
And yeah, it's, like, he just wasn't Angel and wasn't Spike.
So that's why everybody's angry, but, like, guys, yeah, didn't even give the dude a chance. Just because, yeah, he's human or whatever.
He's very tall, guys. That's like, a very important trait in itself. He's very tall.
Melanie's very deep.
Check mark.
Tall. Well, to be fair for Buffy, yeah, like, you should have used that as a retort because
why
no, because for Buffy, one, she likes, like, the tall, dark, and handsome men, but then two, when Spike came in and, you know, he was like, you need a little bit of monster in her man or whatever, he should be like, well, I'm fucking tall, so yeah. Like, just putting that out there. I mean, I guess it helps, but
Buffy can climb me like a tree.
I mean, yeah, she did.
I want that. Now we're at the cemetery. Buffy is patrolling in her very nice brown boots. And she's wearing her hair in that way that she does, like, 40,000 times, like, in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
The weird little, like, pull out and, like, ooh. You can't see what I'm doing, guys, but...
She's wiggling her fingers behind her head, yeah. It's, like, actually like the exact...
I don't know. She does a hairstyle a lot this season. I don't mind it. And Buffy is going to see a light on in a mausoleum when she hears some noises. And then she kind of peeks her head in. And I noticed this little shot right away. It's in, like, the opening credits eventually. It's not in right now, but, like, where she opens the door and the light on her face.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the opening credits at some point. I was like, oh, I know that shot. And we see Dalton Glass as Vamp. He's chiseling away. I had, like, a moment here. I had to look up online of, like, what is that called when it's, like, when you're in the wall, but you're not in, like, it's not a grave, because in the grave is a ground. A casket entombment, apparently, in a mausoleum. I don't know. And he's trying to get something from inside, which, as we know, is the key. And Buffy kind of waits outside for him, but, Glass's Dalton Vamp has backup. And, you know, fight, fight, fight.
Yeah, well, Buffy's take the first vamp pretty easily, and then...
And then Glass's Dalton Vamp disappears.
Poof.
He's a sneaky little fucker.
Yeah, those bald guys, man, I'm telling you.
It's the glasses.
It's the glasses.
He can see really well.
So he knew his exit strategy right away.
Exactly. Yeah. So now we're at the Summers residence. It's Buffy's room, and Angel is kind of in her room waiting for her. I guess he snuck in. I instantly was like, okay, just let yourself in. Whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, she's the teenage girl. Like, what if she had, I don't know, like, something embarrassing that she didn't want him to see?
Yeah.
I'm not the cleanliest person sometimes. Like, I have to quickly, like, if I invite someone over, I have to, like, run in before them and, like, throw things around. Like, no, don't see that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of, like, I guess Buffy is just very cleanly and it kind of expects maybe that her Creature of the Night boyfriend is going to sneak into her room. So she always has it clean. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, every teenage girl's gonna have a mess at one point, so.
Well, like, her room, like, dirty underwear. Yeah, we know that Joyce cleans it, though, so.
Oh, that's true.
But yes, Angel is gonna kind of pick up, like, a little stuffed pig And then Buffy is going to surprise him by coming through the window and kind of scares him, which is great. And I do have a 5x5 because I listened to the commentary with Marty Noxon for this episode. And I guess the day of they're filming this, and they really wanted the joke of, like, her surprising Angel by coming in the window. Mm-hmm. And then the day of, they realized, like, wait, we had written that Joyce is out of town. Why is she coming in the window? So they themselves realized they made a mistake. So day of, they, like, inserted this joke that she says, like, oh, I forgot. Like, I forgot that Joyce is out of town. So it was just like, habit. Yeah. Exactly. And I was like, oh, that's funny. They really just wanted to keep this joke of, like, her surprising Angel by coming through the window.
Yeah.
It's good. We learn here that the little pissed off pig is Mr. Gordo, which, shout out to Mr. Gordo. I fucking love that she named her little stuffed pig. Oh, yeah. And I also felt this weird little connection here. Like, he's holding a stuffed pig. And, like, we know that he drinks, like, pig's blood. Is there some weird, like, connection here? I don't know.
I think you're reaching. Well,
why'd they pick a stuffed pig? I don't know.
I don't know why they give Willow a stuffed frog if she has frog fear.
Joel, I'm going to get to that. I wrote a whole rant on it. Okay, I wrote a whole rant on it. I've been tracking this frog thing.
Yeah.
I have a whole thing about it.
This is going to be a recurring thing throughout the series. Not just the season, just the series.
I don't know. Apparently the writers, well, it's interesting because I guess there's a bunch of writers, right? So maybe they'd all, like, don't, like, talk sometimes. So, like, one person writes this script, like, another writes this script, and it's kind of like, oh, wait, those don't make sense. Yeah. So Buffy, as we just talked about, informs Angel here that Joyce is out of town. She's in LA. Angel is there because he had a bad feeling and wants to make sure that Buffy is okay, which is very cute. And Buffy snapping turtle at him. God, and realizes that she's being a little bit of a B-I-T-C-H today. She's in a bad mood. And we also learn that Angel knows about Career Week because he lurks.
Yeah, that was like she explains she's in the cranky mood because of that. And there's this thing at school and he's like, Career Week? And she has his face and he's like, yeah, I lurk. And it's like, okay, but you look during the day to the point where you know what's going on inside the school?
Well, no, you can go at night and see the sign.
I know, but I guess people go out, like, vampires and stuff go on campus. Like, it's not unheard of. But, yeah, and I really thought of that. I was like, what are you doing? Just, like, how's Buffy's classes today? Just, like, in, like, a little trench coat or something?
I assume he means at night. Like, he's lurked around.
Yeah, and there's, like, the big signs and, like, the...
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Here I am this whole time for years. I was just picturing Angel, like, lurking somehow in the daylight, trying to, like, creep his high school, you know. Yeah,
you've mentioned this before, too. I'm like, no, what? He means at night.
I know. I just never think about, like, you know what I mean? Because, like, things aren't happening at night. Like, I forget that the big banner's there that says, like, Career Week. And it's like, I'm just thinking, like, how do you fucking know that they're doing questionnaires and shit? Like, I don't know. It's just...
Also, in this scene, Buffy says the title of the episode. Like, what's my line? Which I'm like, I like that. That's always fun. Oh, and at one point she also looks in the mirror and sees that he's not there. He's not beside her. Like, it's, I don't know. I guess that probably adds to, like, her loneliness and her sadness.
Yeah.
Buffy wants an ongoing life. It's an ongoing life. Buffy wants a normal life. It's an ongoing theme in Buffy.
To be fair, she probably does want an ongoing life, too. Like, she wants to live. Yeah. She wants
to live. And yes, this is the part where she says the line that we have mentioned before that I could tell right away. I'm like, Tilda is watching ahead, where she says, cradle robbing creature of the night boyfriend. But she does say it in jest. I kind of found it funny.
Yeah.
Because, like, with context, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, she's saying, and he laughs. And I'm like, okay, like, it's a joke. I get it's a very true joke and it's very real.
Yeah.
But it is I don't know. It turns into, like, a cute moment. I don't know.
I think so. Well, I mean, for context, right, she just explained that, like, she wants to be a, you know, normal girl, and then just saying, like, yeah, a normal girl and her cradle-robbing creature of the night boyfriend, and it's like, you could have that silly thing in there, but I don't know, I never minded it either. Like, the first couple of times, you know, the first 100 times I watched it, it was one of those, like, cute, funny jokes. It's only when you start to dissect it that you're like,
So Angel is going to pick up a photo of Buffy, and instantly I could tell that it was a real photo of, like, little tiny Sarah. Because I mean, back in the day, obviously, when I was obsessed with Buffy, I also was obsessed with Sarah Michelle Gellar. So I know that she was, like, big into, like, ice skating and stuff, which is, that's all this whole storyline with them going ice skating all stems from the fact that the crew and, like, writers knew that Sarah was an ice skater. So they were always trying to, like, fit that in.
Yeah.
So that's where this came from. And that is little Sarah. in a little outfit. Dorothy Hamill. Oh, I meant to look up who Dorothy Hamill is, but I forgot to.
I think I looked it up and then I just never wrote it down.
I'm sure she's like a famous ice skater, right? She's probably like an Olympian or some shit. But yes, Buffy used to skate, and Angel is going to suggest to make a date out of it. There is a rink that's closed at night on Tuesdays, and they can go for a very normal, basic-ass cute date.
Or so they think. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, well, that never quite works out, does it?
And by the way, you hit the nail on the head. She is a Olympic champion from 76 and a world champion in ladies' singles.
See, Melanie's instincts are correct.
So she was an incredible skater. I think she's dead. Sorry, I think so. I don't know. No, she's not. She's 66 years old. Oh, no. Yeah, wait. Did she die?
It's far from dead.
No, well, you don't know that. Just because she would be 66 now doesn't mean she lived. Dorothy Hamill, if you're listening to this, I really hope you're alive and well.
Well, just go to Wikipedia. It'll say right away.
I'm doing it right now, but it's not giving me the information that I need.
Why are you making this into a Bon Jovi album? that was good.
Okay, sorry. So at the next day in the school courtyard, Cordelia and Xander are checking the bulletin board for their career day results and what jobs they got. Cordelia got shopper or motivational speaker, which is not surprising. And she turned the page to look at Xander's and she just like laughed and walked away, which I was curious.
Oh boy, we're going to find out real quickly here because we see Willow and Buffy walking. They're discussing Buffy and Angel's skating date. Xander's going to approach and tell them he got the career suggestion of a prison guard, correctional person. Laughter, lots of laughter. And then we learn that Buffy got law enforcement professional.
Oh my god, that's even worse.
Police. I'm super curious to know what she answered for them to pick that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I really don't, like, I don't know.
I don't see it.
So I'm trying to think of, like, these questionnaires back in the day, and, like, I know a lot of, like, I answered a lot of the creative stuff on, like, the heavier side, so that's how I always got, like, I literally always got, like, film and, like, television shit. Like, it was always, like, the highest thing on my list. And I'm like, oh, well, that's literally what I want to do, so. But, yeah, maybe she was, like, I don't know, it was, like, moral questions or ethic questions. Or, like, she was like, yes, you know, evil is bad and must fight.
Yeah, I'm sure there's questions, like, do you have, like, a strong sense of justice? Or, feel, like, do you, like, helping people or... I don't know, like, do you prefer to handle situations yourself or, like, call for help? Like, I'm sure there's things that made her seem like this, strong, independent individual that want to, like, take, help people in their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting because, like, military.
I know she also likes, like, fashion stuff. Like, she seems like a very, like, you know, shoppy kind of person.
Yeah.
So, you think that she'd also answer heavy on those. So, yeah, but I'm curious to know because they usually give you two. Right? Two or three, or like a top three, whatever, because even like Cordelia got like two. So I'm curious to know what their other ones were.
Yeah, I don't know.
They only say the first ones.
I don't know, because, yeah, for Xander and Buffy specifically, yeah, I'd like to hear their other.
Oh, wait, in the second part, did it mention it? Because she said yes to Shrubs or something? And then, because I haven't watched the second one yet, but I seem to remember her want, like, she had two choices to either go like the police seminar or like the Shrub one or whatever. Yeah, and that one was full, like, or something.
I think so, yeah.
Did you watch it? I didn't.
The second one?
Yeah, have you watched it?
Yeah, I did. But it was in the second... Oh, yeah, it was in the second one.
Yeah.
Because that's when, yeah, she goes to the thing. No, I did watch it, but now that's like... I
we're
going to
ask all these questions, and then like the next episode be like, oh, all our questions are now answered. Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know. And we also learned that Willow didn't get an assignment. It's a mystery. Her name was not on the board. Now we're in the library, and Library Giles is hard at work carrying a giant-ass stack of books. Buffy is going to arrive, and we learn he's been indexing some Watcher diaries.
Fun.
And she informs Giles about the theft at the mausoleum last night. Giles is very concerned and chastises Buffy for not making more of an effort to see what glasses Dalton Vamp stole. And then Buffy is going to snapping turtle at Giles... And I literally wrote here, this is where I came up with, Buffy officially a snapping turtle this episode. Everyone's snap and snap. And the writers take this moment to remind the audience that as long as Buffy is alive, there can only be one Slayer, and it's her. Because that is going to come into play in part two.
Yeah, I like the reminder because, like, it again shows, you know, snapping turtle Buffy just being really salty about, like, being the only one. And she's like, you know, my nails continue to grow. Like, what's the diff? I'm still the Slayer. But I don't like Giles in this situation because he went, like, his response to her clearly wasn't, like, attuned to her feelings at all. And he was just, like, you know, he just brushed it off. And he's like, you know, our only concern right now is to find out what was stolen. Like, he was
he even says, like, can we not be introspective right now?
Yeah. And I was like, it's so job-minded. And I get that that's kind of, like, the theme of the episode of, like, this is work. Like, this is a job for Buffy. But she also, like, can't escape it. She can't quit. She can't do anything. But I just hate that, like, knowing the relationship, knowing what it turns into and how much, like, love he has for her. It's so, like... And the fact that, like, in season one at the end, you just went through this whole ordeal that she was sick of it and she quit right in front of you to being the Slayer, but then, like, came back and did her duty and, like,
died.
And, you know, you're just still, like, you know, she's clearly still obviously having a lot of emotions about all this. And you're just kind of like, well, sorry, we got to find out, like, what was going on. And I'm like, come on, Giles, like, have a little bit of empathy here. She's your Slayer, but, like, you know, you've also built a relationship with her, so maybe don't.
So now we're at the factory. We see a big old cross. It turns out, I guess, that is the key. So Spike is fed up with the Slayer. Dalton Glass's vamp kind of tells on Buffy and kind of says, like, she almost ruined it. She almost ruined the plan, which Spike is going to
have a tantrum.
Spike is going to do a little overkill here, and he's going to order in the... What are they called?
The Order of Taraka.
Yes, the Order of Taraka. He's going to order 3 assassins to go after Buffy and hopefully just take... What am I saying?
I don't know. I don't know what you wrote, if it's in gibberish or like...
I'm all over the place. Hopefully these 3 assassins are going to take Buffy off his hands and they're going to kill her. We see some tarot cards here that Drew is flipping, and we see the 3 assassins that are coming are a cyclops, like a centipede thing, and a cheetah. Those are like the representations of the 3 assassins.
Yeah, I'd be terrified of that centipede.
Like, it's like a centipede, but then later it's like a worm. So I guess the centipede is just like...
It's like a bug representation.
Just, yeah, I guess.
But like between the cheetah, the cyclops, and the centipede's definitely the worst one. Just putting that out there.
Oh yeah, you're scared of bugs. Scared of bugs. So we're at Sunnydale, and Willow and Xander are wandering around career day, and Willow is concerned because Giles and Buffy went on a little field trip to the cemetery, and Snideman is looking for her. Mm. And sure enough, Snideman is gonna show up right away asking questions about Buffy's whereabouts. And Xander has a really funny line here. Let's hear it.
Principal Snyder, great career fair, sir. Really, in fact, I'm so inspired by your leadership, I'm thinking principal school. I want to walk in your shoes. Not your actual shoes, of course, because you're a tiny person.
So during this whole interaction here, I also just want to mention that right behind Snideman is the cop assassin. So I don't know how quick this thing was that happened last night that, like, Spike, like, ordered the Taraka in. But, like, the cop assassin girl is right behind Snyder. So yeah. She's already there. She's, like, waiting.
That's quick.
So that's fucking quick. So, yes, Willow and Xander are going to try and cover for Buffy. And then Snideman has some intense dialogue here. So I thought we could also hear this because, hilarious. Oh, man.
For what it's worth.
It's worth nothing, Harris. Whatever comes out of your mouth is a meaningless waste of breath. An airborne toxic event.
Well, I'm glad you feel comfortable enough to be so honest with me. And I can only hope that one day I'm in the position to be that honest with you.
Fascinating.
So yes, this exchange here between Xander and Snideman is actually pretty intense for a principal-student dynamic. He's so mean.
How he got that job, I have no idea.
I know, very abusive conversation here. But, I mean, Xander kind of holds his own with the exchange, which is nice. And then at this point, some strange men are going to approach Willow and ask her to come with them. And they escort her to a bougie-ass curtained-off area. There's music playing. There's canapes. and apparently some Mr. McCarthy dude, software dude, is going to arrive. And they've been tracking her this whole time. I guess they want her for a job once she graduates.
Like something in the software and tech industry, I guess, because she's so brainy. Like, I find this scene funny because just before we lead into, like, who else she meets there, they were like, oh, like, you know, we're extremely selective. Only 2 Sunnydale students were chosen. Sunnydale to me is always like historically just a small town. You're telling me that like in all of the USA, all the people that you're tracking, 2 of the most intelligent people you can find just happen to come out of like this really, really small town. Like, it's not Silicon Valley. It's not LA. Mm. It's not. I was like, just what are the chances? Because they're like, well, we're extremely selective, but we're just picking from fucking anywhere. So it's fine. Because it's not like Sunnydale is like a immersion school, a tech school, an intense, like, you know, whatever. What are the chances that you found?
Well, you know, fucking geniuses come anywhere in all shapes and sizes.
I know, but it's just
and
so
and
funny.
Locations.
Like, I agree with you, but it's just so funny that, like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not like it feeds into that, like, I mean, I don't think Sunnydale's, like, a great school, but
yeah.
You see Snyder. Like, how is...
Yeah, that's true.
And then Flutie beforehand, I'm sorry.
And we learn the other student that was chosen is Oz.
Aww.
This is their first... like official talking to each other when they actually know they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
So remember they ran into each other and they're like, oh, sorry. That exchange. Yeah. But this is the first time they're actually going to like, he offers her canapes.
You see his face light up when she sits next to him too. It's actually so cute because he was like crushing
like,
on her
finally,
from a distance. Finally,
yeah. I get to meet this little redhead. Ugh. And then meanwhile, at the cemetery, Giles and Buffy are on their little field trip. They're entering the cemetery and kind of continuing their debate from when they're in the library about Buffy's life and her slatedism. I try to make up a new fun word. I put slatedum.
And then you said slatedanism.
Well, that sounds
satanism.
That sounds better.
Slatedanism sounds like a religion. I'm sorry.
Well, it kind of is, isn't it? Slatedanhood.
Okay.
Like maidenhood, but slated.
Yeah, okay. I'm all in it.
And it's cool to see the cemetery here during the day. As we know that I've discussed this before, that this whole cemetery is all fake, guys. It's all on their back lot beside their warehouse. It's in like their like parking area. Like literally Marty Noxon mentions that like every morning she drives through that to like go to work. So it's kind of like, oh, what's gonna be today? Is it gonna be because they change it obviously, is it gonna be a playground, is it gonna be like a school set, like it becomes like the UC Sunnydale like area, is it gonna be a cemetery? They change it all around, which is fun. And all of those what are they called,
headstones
yeah. Yes. They're all styrofoam, which is fun. Yes, it's a very small little area. They've created the cemetery. But Giles here is suggesting that she eventually get a job like he did during the day, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And he astutely suggests law enforcement. I think it makes perfect sense. But it's to Buffy's shock and dismay that he is agreeing with the career suggestion that she become a police officer.
Yeah, like the strength makes sense, but like for Buffy's personality it doesn't.
No,
that's the
I
thing.
Can't imagine Buffy having to wear a uniform. That's
no
not,
it's weird. Yeah,
it's not gonna happen.
She slays. She patrols in halter tops, remember? You can't wear a halter top as a cop.
In heels, for God's sake.
Yeah, and those boots.
So now Giles and Buffy are inside the mausoleum. We learn that little area there that he was stealing from is a reliquary.
Mm.
Oh, I said that word good. Look at me. And this whole mausoleum is dedicated to Duloc, which instantly... Okay, have you ever seen Shrek?
That was not what I expected you to say.
Because do you remember... Okay, there's this song that they sing. Welcome, the place that like they're from is Duloc.
Yeah.
Welcome to Duloc, such a perfect town. Do you remember this?
No, last time I watched any of the Shreks was like
When I was a kid, I watched Shrek over and over and over and over, and I had the DVD. Do you ever have the DVD?
No.
Oh my god, and you can like watch this little video of them like doing like the little welcome song. Welcome to Duloc, such a perfect... It's a fun little... No, okay. But instead I was like, Duloc, but like Duloc. I don't know, super similar, but obviously this is like... Was this before Shrek? Or during Shrek? I don't know, when was Shrek made?
Which was it, the
2000?
First
Shrek? Yeah. Yeah, I instantly thought of Shrek, which I don't
2001,
know.
So it could have been...
Well, no, this is 97, remember? Because I said at the very beginning.
Right.
So maybe Shrek stole from Buffy. But anyways, my brain goes to weird places. But yes, we learn Duloc. Oh my god. I can't.
Duloc.
Was excommunicated. He's not a great dude. And the book that was stolen by Bleach Blonde Vamp was written by Duloc. And it was full of, like, unspeakable evil and all that kind of fun stuff. All right, now we're going to see some assassins arrive. We see the bus depot Cyclops biker arrives. We see the badass dirty guy. And then we see creepy bug man. He is walking by the Summers residence and goes to their neighbor, knocks on the door, and he's going to entice the neighbor with some free makeup samples. Mm-hmm. And she lets him in, and we hear a scream. And then we see a plane at a quote-unquote airport. Actually, that airport is once again the same area they had the cemetery. They just, like, made this fake little plane thing, you know? There's someone hiding in the cargo hold area. I literally put, like, wouldn't she have froze to death? ?
Probably.
She seems fine.
Everything.
And she's half naked, so whatever. We obviously know that this is Kendra. She's looking like a straight up model, full face of makeup. Like, you should see me after a flight, okay? I don't look like that, but whatever.
I know. I've been there.
And she's been hiding in a cargo bay. Like, shut up. Just, like, yeah, breeze right past that.
Yeah.
But yeah, as we know, they're trying to trick us into thinking that Kendra is an assassin when she is not.
So they're in the library researching, and Giles explains that the Duloc Cross can decipher text and decode things. He mentions that Duloc destroyed all of the crosses except the one buried with him, which I guess he should have obviously kept a secret, and because he feared what would happen if it fell into the wrong hands. So basically right now they're having a research party to find out what's in the book that needs decoding.
Before Spike figures it out. But this isn't going to work for Buffy, because Buffy's got some plans. She's going to bail out on this because she's got a date with Angel. And Giles is surprisingly accommodating, which maybe makes up for him being, you know, a dick earlier. He's like, all right, fine, you can leave.
Because, yeah. She didn't have to put up much of a fight. She just said,
like, peace out.
It's
I got
not
plans.
My thing. Yeah.
And now we're going to switch to Buffy at the skating rink. She's skating alone. We see clearly that a lot of this is just Sarah. Go Sarah. Sarah is a good ice skater.
Oh, and I learned from this that, like, because I like this scene because I'm like, I like seeing Buffy do something fucking normal for once.
Yeah.
Considering how much she talks about it. But I learned because I knew about Sarah Michelle Gellar and the ice skating, but I also didn't know that she was heavily into martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she had Taekwondo. Quite the background. Yeah, so she already knew a little bit of fight moves here and there. And
yeah, when I was younger, when I learned that, I really wanted to do Taekwondo. And I did a lot of research into, like, figuring it out and Barry, but Barry's not the best place to do Taekwondo, and I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Anyways. But yes, Buffy is going to do some fun little tricks here on the ice skating rink and then bails and falls down just as Cyclops biker is going to grab her and attack her. He's strangling Buffy, but Angel is going to arrive with full-on vamp face, fight. And then Buffy is going to do a cool little thing by slitting the guy's throat with her ice skate.
Just another example of her being resourceful.
Yes, very resourceful. And instantly I was like, there's no blood.
Oh, yeah.
And I just made a quick comment on that. And then, like, when I listened to the commentary, Marty Noxon, I guess, like, wrote it as, like, lots of blood. Like, she has whole thing in her mind of, like, the blood spilling on the white, like, ice rink. Yeah. And then, obviously, as a, you know, network TV show, that was unacceptable, I guess.
Oh, come on.
So they did shoot some of it, but they cut it so that you couldn't see it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is annoying. But Angel's going to see the ring on this dude's hand and just instantly get very wiggy. Buffy's in danger, apparently. But all Buffy cares about is the cut on Angel's face. He's hurt.
Oh, no.
On his eye.
The vampire, the strong vampire is hurt. What are we going to do?
Yes. And really cute moment because Angel is kind of like, you shouldn't have to touch me like this. He gets all, like, you know, sensitive and embarrassed.
See, here she goes like, I didn't even notice. I'm like, you notice. You slay them every day. You hate them. Mm. You literally hate them for existing.
But maybe on him, it just looks like Angel face.
I know, like,
and guess what? Guess what's gonna happen? They're gonna kiss. They're gonna kiss with full vamp face. And I put, ha ha, Darla, see? Because Darla said that would never happen. And it did. Well, she's dead. So, like, you know, I guess that doesn't really matter, but
she's still got her aha.
Yeah, told you so, Darla. And Kendra is seen here, and she's spying. She's going to clock all of this and see Buffy making out with a vampire, which is going to cause a whole lot of confusion and kerfuffle and some misunderstandings.
Rightfully so, though.
I suppose so.
So Buffy brings Giles the ring that freaked Angel out so much, and he mentioned that it was worn by the Order of Taraka, that they are deadly, ruthless assassins. And that Angel wasn't overreacting. And he gets, you know, really serious about this and gets really tense.
And Xander, of course, is going to make a joke, which Giles just becomes Snapping Turtle and snaps at Xander. This is some serious business. And Giles is going to suggest that Buffy hides. Second person to suggest that she runs and hides. Yeah. I guess this is a intense situation. And he's going to give like a really heavy speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to freak the shit out of Buffy. Apparently these people, these assassins, have no earthly desires but to collect their bounty. They're going to keep coming. Even if you kill them, another one will just come. Where has this been the entire time? Are they still existence? If so, like, why hasn't other people like tried this with Buffy? Like, that'd be a great way to kill a slayer.
I don't know. I think, like, but see, the thing I don't like about the scene, or that I do, but I don't, is that he made it sound like the way he was talking in this serious scene. He goes, you know, and then you kill, and then they'll send another and another. But, like, there's only three that were summoned.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, but but that's what I'm saying. He's making it sound like there's a lot more that just can keep coming. Mm-hmm. Well, then, like, why not just keep sending them? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. Does it take something to summon them? Is there, like, a payment involved? Oh,
like, why didn't, like, Spike just continue to send more kind of thing?
Yeah, or if it's, like, let's say one doesn't succeed, you said they send another. Like, so once those three are dead, they're capped, and then nobody just ever, like you said, nobody ever just tries this again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or, like, why didn't Spike keep sending them unless there's a cost associated with it somehow where it's, like, you know, just keep going, right? Like, keep like her on her toes. Like,
cost them like $1 million each time. He's like, I only have so much money. Yeah.
No, I don't know if it's, you know, you never know, dollars sacrifice, like something. But like, they made it.
Your soul. He doesn't have a soul.
Well, like, all they did was to turn over the tarot cards. Like, you know what I mean? To summon them. So we don't know. That's what I mean is, like, you can just keep, like, okay, those three failed. Roll over another three. Like,
I guess maybe just in Spike's mind, he's doing it literally just to distract her. I think, because he wants to kill her himself, right? So I think in the back of his mind, he's like, oh, okay, this will just, like, a little distraction or whatever, so I can, like, finish my thing and, like, help Drusilla. But I want to actually kill her. I don't know. That's what my mindset
is. Or maybe he thinks the three is, like, more than enough.
Yeah.
Like, that they'll just, one of them's going to get the job done. It's totally fine,
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. They sound like some creepy dudes. And yeah, this is going to freak Buffy out. And we see Buffy walking through the hall after this speech. It's very ominous. It's very, like, paranoid. She's seeing things that, like, you know, seem more ominous than they actually are.
She never really seems that scared either. Like, she's turning over her shoulder scared.
Yeah. And Oz is going to, just minding his own business, is going to be walking past Buffy. And she's going to grab him by the, like, neck, throw him against the wall, and be like, try it. And you're just like, what?
Try what? Yeah.
Great way to meet someone who's going to be your ongoing friend.
Is that a Snapping Turtle moment? Not quite snapping, but I guess.
No.
Okay.
It's just the turtle moment. Go on.
Okay, sorry, yeah. You're right. Turtles like that all the time. Super tense.
Yeah. They do seem kind of tense. I don't know.
Yeah, well, then you're carrying a whole shell on your body.
Have you ever seen like a turtle and been like, wow, the turtle is relaxed? No, right?
No, actually. Wow, they all seem really tense now that you've mentioned it. Poor turtles. Maybe that's why they walk slow. Aw.
Well, you think they'd walk fast if they were tense.
Oh, true.
Well, now we're just contradicting dissecting ourselves here.
Turtles, yeah.
So Buffy is going to continue just to kind of wander around alone. She considers going home, but smartly so, she doesn't. She heads to Angel's apartment. And I do have some things I want to discuss about Angel's apartment. All the stuff he has, for one.
Yeah, like, yeah. I thought so that too, yeah.
The stuff. Like, I don't understand. Like, he has, like, a statue in a case. He has, like, all, like, these paintings and drawings. It just seems like, I don't know, like, you've seen my apartment. I have a lot of shit. But as we know later, up until very recently, he was homeless, just eating rats in, like, the gutter. And, like, now all of a sudden, did he have a storage, like, storage container? Like, a storage?
He just cultivated all these things
and
over
then,
time.
And then kept it there for when he felt better again and felt like, I'm going to move into an apartment. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
Because he has, like, historic relics and
he
things
has
that, like,
things
through the years.
That
yeah.
clearly he's, like, collected. And, like, what collected, did he collect these things, like, as an evil, as Angelus, and, like, kept them? I don't know. There's questions.
It's funny because, like, I noticed that from a different angle because, like, I noticed the stuff that he had, but I never questioned that. But I was like, it's so weird to think of Angel decorating because everything's so perfectly placed and organized. Like, I'm like, did he pick out his curtains? Like, did he, like, go to, like, I don't know, a thing, whatever the equivalent of Home Depot is, and just
well,
was,
and he obviously, like, ordered or, like, went and bought this statue case with this light and, like, because he wanted to display his statue.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And it's like, okay, well... I don't know.
There's some things that, I don't know. And, like, in the commentary, Mari Noxon was actually just like, wow, like, this apartment, like, really cool. Like, you know, the decoration, like, you know, just, like, putting props to, like, the crew and stuff. Whereas, like, she's not even thinking like I am, where I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And then I think you see later, I know when he moves, like, in season 3.
Yeah.
It's, like, bare empty.
Well, like, he has, like, the apartment underneath where he has, like, but doesn't, not this kind of stuff, that's for sure.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he has, like, a larger space. But remember when Joyce goes to talk to him, like, before the prom stuff happens and all that stuff, his place just looks more barren.
Oh, really? I don't remember. So, I thought you meant, like, when he moves to, like, Angel.
No. I'm talking about when he moves in season 3 when, like, Buffy's sleeping over more, you know, the prom episode's coming up and, like, Joyce comes in to talk about,
like,
when
he's living in the mansion
stuff.
yeah
but
that's interesting.
It seems, I don't know where his stuff is, like, he still has some stuff, but this is more,
well,
like,
it's,
you
probably
see it cluttered.
Just, it's hard to decorate a mansion, you know, like, he only has stuff for, like, a room. Maybe,
but, like,
all the
it's so barren, like, you see the scenes with Faith, you see, you know, like, the back, you see kind of, like, the space, and I'm like, wow, like, he's got next to nothing, which is what I expect him to kind of be like,
that kind of makes more sense.
Yeah,
like, he's a nomad, like,
yeah,
in my opinion. I don't know,
so I don't know, going the reverse, or if they just decided, like, we're not gonna fucking decorate this whole thing, like, I don't know.
So at the end of the scene, Buffy is feeling very lonely. Angel is not there, so she just ends up crawling into Angel's bed just for some comfort. So back at the library, the rest of the gang is kind of discussing, where did Buffy go? She ran out of there. And Giles thinks that maybe his little speech came on a little too strong and Buffy got freaked out. And they're all just trying to figure out, they're doing their research and trying to figure out where Buffy went and if she's safe or not.
So Angel arrives at Willie's, which is our, I guess, local underground demon bar. And Willie has all the information and insights on what's going on in the demon world and the supernatural. And Angel wants to ask, in quotes, very politely, for some information. You know, but Willie's saying he's living right.
As he always is. Willie's a little snitch. But Angel is going to resort to violence to get some answers about what is going on with this Order of Taraka. He wants to protect Buffy. And just when Willie is about to squeal like a pig, Kendra smacks Angel, like, over the head with a broom. Just perfect timing here, Kendra. Fight into the back room here. And then Kendra is going to lock Angel in, like, a cage. I don't know. Whatever. And her accent is just...
terrible.
Her accent's a lot.
Awful.
It's a lot. I don't know.
It is. I'm sorry. It's like their other... I'm so happy that they chose who they chose for Kendra, but like another token black character, but like a light-skinned black character with like the worst accent they could have done. They were like, listen, we really need you to be this token. Act as like... I don't know, as African
she
as you can.
I guess,
like,
she did get a dialect coach who, like, coached her on this exact accent.
Did she?
Yeah. That's what Ori Noxon says.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't...
So, like, it's, like, a very specific area in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, well, I mean, that's fine, but it just sounds...
It just sounds like a lot.
Exaggerated.
It does a little
bit. Yeah.
But, yeah, so Kendra locks Angel in this cage, which just made me, like, I don't know, can't Angel get out of this cage? It's just, like, Buffy's strength. It varies per episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole dire thing is that the sun is eventually going to come up and burn up Angel. So, back at the library, Giles calls Xander and tells him they still haven't heard from Buffy to take Cordelia and go check on her at her house, thinking maybe she's there. And then he goes to wake up Willow, who is passed out at the computer, and also the you know, the computer is magically there when it needs to be, whatever.
Of course, yeah.
And we're gonna insert this line right here because I have a lot to say about it.
Willow,
don't warn the tadpoles.
You're all right. Charles, what are you doing here?
It's the library, Willow. You fell asleep.
Oh. I...
Don't warn the tadpoles.
I have frog fear.
So, if you are our listener, you know that I've been tracking this whole frog thing. She literally was just, like, carrying on a frog. There's been frogs everywhere. A lot of frog sightings. And now we are saying that she has frog fear.
Mm.
Like, I honestly thought it would took longer for this to happen. But no, this was, like, just very recently. I don't know. It was, like, a couple weeks ago. I don't know.
Maybe she's one of those, like, weird people that just needs to keep the things that scare her close to her.
See, I literally wrote down, like, no one buys the things that scare them. That's a little moth, by the way. And I literally wrote down, I'm like, I'm not out there buying clown stuff. Tilda's not out there buying bug stuff. She literally sees a bug right now, and she's just frantic. It's a moth. Kill it, please. It's eating all of my wool stuff. Okay, kill it.
Why am I the one in charge of killing
smush
it?
Smush it. It'll be fast. Smush it. You didn't get it. Ah! You didn't get it. Shit. Die.
Wait. Just let it.
Did you get it?
No, I can't. Why are you lying on me?
It's gonna eat my clothes. Oh, I see it. Oh, it's so high. Damn it! What? God damn it, Tilda! You think
I panicked? You're asking me to kill something that I fucking hate.
Oh, God, look at these levels. you think you'd be better at killing the things that you hate? If a clown came in here, I'd hope I'd grab that knife and just stab, stab, stab.
Yeah, but you'd also be frozen with fear to a degree. So like,
but point is, no one. Buy stuff. You're not going out and to buy a. You're not gonna purchase a beetle like backpack.
Okay, for okay, like, yeah, never gonna happen though.
No, see, it's I don't know. You can't establish a bunch of frog stuff and then be like, oh, she has frog fear. You can't. Ugh, whatever. Now this is lore. Okay, now it's forever that Willow has frog fear, yeah. And everyone knows this. So, I don't know. It is what it is. But Giles is now going to inform Willow that he found something and figured out. Spike is looking in to doing a ritual to restore the weakened Drusilla. So back at the factory, the evil gang has figured out that the missing link to the ritual is Angel.
Dun, dun, dun. So Xander and Cordelia go to Buffy's house looking for her. As Xander's like searching the house inside, trying to see if she's there. There's a knock on the door where Cordelia answered it, and oh my god, it's our bug man from next door offering free samples of makeup. And of course, Cordelia can't say no to free samples, so she lets him in.
I wonder what's gonna happen. A lot of cliffhangers. A lot of cliffhangers in this episode.
Well, it's almost like it's in two parts.
It's almost like it's a part one of two.
Unbelievable. I never thought of that.
So back at Angel's apartment, Buffy is going to get a rude awakening here with Kendra attacking her. We have fighty fight fight. And I just want to mention, I also want to ask, like, why is Kendra trying to kill Buffy? Like, she's not a vampire. Clearly, during this fight, Kendra can say, oh, you're not a vampire. So, like, what? So you get killed for kissing a vamp?
Well, I mean, yeah. Like,
get the authorities. I don't know. You know, it's a what human being. You can't kill a human being.
Oh, so Buffy killed that dude. Moral.
Yes, Buffy killed that dude because he was attacking her and trying to kill them. Whereas, like, Buffy's just sleeping. Like, you're attacking her.
No, well, that's the interesting part because she let Angel live. Like, not live. I know she thought the sun was going to get him, but yeah. She didn't stake him right away. But, like, she sees her kissing a vampire. So even if, for example, that she wasn't a vampire mm-hmm. in her eyes, she could be any sort of demon that could be like, again, they've got like half humans blood mixed into them. So,
mm-hmm. Or she's just a human being who likes to make out with a vampire. And that kind of, I don't know, she's just a person. All Kendra knows is that this is a person. You can't be going around killing people. Well, and she has an axe, man. She's ready to kill her.
She let Willie go too. You know what I mean? Like Willie mm-hmm. was also a human mixed with. Mm-hmm. She didn't question him by any means and why they were. But I guess she saw Angel attacking him, so that's different. So like, mm-hmm.
I don't know. Clearly it just makes for good TV. And we're going to end on a really big cliffhanger here with Kendra stating, I'm Kendra, the vampire slayer.
Yeah, that was, I don't think that was...
Well, it's because she says, like, vampire.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, what?
Yeah.
What was happening? I don't like picture myself like back in the day, or picture all the viewers back in the day being like, what?
Yeah.
And having to like wait for like next week to figure out like what the fuck's going on.
That's a nightmare. That's going to be our listeners soon, because they're going to have to wait for our next episode to come out so we can discuss what happened.
I was just like, I wonder how many weeks it's going to be.
Yeah. So we're busy adults, unfortunately.
We, and summer's coming up, guys.
Yeah.
I have another job. You actually have really less excuses because you finally finished school, so.
I finished school and my second job has fallen to pieces because retail sucks, so.
It's expensive these days, man. I tried to go, like, shopping and I was like, no. Me and my friend Cecilia were just, like, going, like, around to, like, the mall. We're like, no. No, yeah. no, what? Yeah. Why is this $50?
Yeah, and the sales aren't there anymore. And to top it all off, no, because with Shoppers specifically, they're doing like they're cutting, like, there's like no cashiers anymore, they said, because of the machines. So they're going to get the supervisors to do both jobs. That's so, like, ridiculous. If there's a cashier on site, it's going to be for like 3 hours. Like, literally, I've been cut down to 4 hours a week.
Well,
yeah,
I already wanted out of there anyways. So.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's just, yeah, I definitely have like less and less excuses because, like, no school.
I do have some 5x5s. One I do want to mention, Marty Noxon actually is the one who created the character of Willy the Snitch.
Nice.
Which is fun. And another 5x5, Marty Noxon also kind of makes a comment here about the fact that they're kind of playing fast and loose here with this sun rule, because it's this whole dire situation in this episode, whereas, as we all well know, in the show Angel, he literally gets an office that's like a Western exposure, has tons of windows, and he works during the day.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a, so fans are kind of like, what? What's happening? Like, why is, like, in this situation? Because as we know in part 2, he's going to be like, like, in the corner, like, trying to escape the sun. Whereas, like, he literally works in, a very well-lit office as a detective agency in Angel.
But no, in Angel, doesn't he have those same, I haven't watched Angel in a long time, so, like, excuse me if I'm wrong here, but I thought he might have had or gotten the same windows that the CEO vampire had in the first episode.
No.
But do you know what I'm talking about? Because, like, they were in, like, an office high above, but it's, like, a vampire-specific window. Yeah.
No, they don't have that, no.
Really?
No, because they use the windows later to like keep Spike away and stuff. No, they have normal windows.
Oh, okay.
Trust me.
No, I believe you. That's why I was like, I just assumed, like, I never thought about it, because when I saw those windows in the first episode,
I didn't mind it either. But yeah. But also, she does mention that, like, kind of the writers eventually, like, were like, this is kind of silly of us to do this, and that's part of the reason why in Angel they blow up the entire set and like move him into the hotel. Because that kind of solves that of, like, what are we doing? We shouldn't have Angel in this really well-lit office.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Too easy.
Good times. So, for favorite lines and funniest lines, I personally thought the funniest lines were the ones that we've already previously inserted in the episode between Snidman and Xander. As for favorite, I don't really have one this episode. But I know Miss Tilda here does.
Yeah, for funniest, I'm with you on the one with Snyder, especially when he says, like, anything that you say, like, in your breath is a meaningless waste of, or sorry, whatever you say is a meaningless waste of breath. And of course, my favorite has to be the one that I called it from last episode. I guess let's listen to it.
I wish we could be regular kids.
Yeah, I'll never be a kid.
Okay, then, a regular kid and her cradle-robbing creature of the night boyfriend.
So, Tilda, how would you rate this episode?
Well, I want to say I was extremely selective, and I only gave it 2.5 Sunnydale Smarty Pants Tech students out of 5 meaningless wastes of breath.
All right. I was a little more forgiving. I gave this 3.75 Snapping Turtles out of 5 Sladenisms.
Look, I love that.
As a whole, I think it's great. Part 1 is definitely lesser than part 2. Part 2 has a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot to discuss, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There's just a lot more happening in part 2.
That's the thing. Like, and I know it's, I want to be forgiving for this episode in the sense that I understand you need to build a foundation to get to all the excitement that's going to continue, not just with part 2, but for the rest of the season. But it was just a bit too slow for me. Like we said, like a lot of cliffhanger endings. And I understand why. I don't know. It just didn't feel like like fun. Even,
you know what, now that I think of it, like I didn't even have a favorite line. I feel like even last week I had a favorite line. Yeah. There was a lot of, I'm gonna change to 3.5.
okay,
maybe 3.25. I know this one's hard. It's hard when it's a part one of two.
Yeah. Well, because you have like, yeah, you have like, because we know what's gonna happen. Like we know, for example, what Kendra's character is gonna be like. We know what to expect. So it's like, you know what to like about it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Without, we know Angel's gonna be in danger. It's
I mean, I like the sweet moments between Buffy and Angel. I like Kendra's introduction. Like, you know, there's stuff that's very good about it. I like that they have these, like, you know, crazy assassins that really get Buffy worried. Like, there's stuff in the episode that's kind of different.
Mr. Gordo.
Yeah, of course, you know. Angel skating.
Do you know what that is? Honorable mention to Mr. Gordo.
Yeah.
I do. I literally went out as a kid and got a stuffed pig just to name it Mr. Gordo. That's how obsessed I was.
Yeah, if you guys are listening, you're listening to the right podcast because you're listening to, like, an actual obsessed fan and a normal person that's a fan.
Who's who?
I know. I'm going to tell.
Secret. This is the part where I thank Hinchy. You do a lock by providing us with these Buffy audio clips. Thanks for putting us in your ears and on your speakers. We'll see you here y'all next time.
We'll see you for part two.